if you were to go with your gut here, and I appreciate that you do have a job to do, but are we talking about potentially a situation where Truro City could be liquidated tomorrow, Friday morning? Is that what we're looking at?
Possibly. There is, I don't get into too many details at the moment, but there is still a possibility to buy the club without complying with the Football Conference rules, effectively buying out of administration. With in those circumstances, the club would be expelled from the Football Conference, and it would be a matter of approaching the FA and seeing whereabouts the club could slot into the to the league system or the non-league system. So, but in the absence of that happening, the next stage is liquidation, and we'd have to make a very quick call as to whether there is any possibility of selling effectively the goodwill of the club out of administration prior to a liquidation. But that would be a quick process. I wouldn't say as early as tomorrow morning, because as until the Football Conference expel us, we will be wanting to remain in administration. But if they were to expel the club, then liquidation would most likely follow fairly shortly afterwards.
And some of these options you're mentioning, James, here, as you've said yourself, a lot of these are long shots in the sense that they're reliant on A, the goodwill of people, and B, you know, someone coming in who hasn't come forward already coming forward.
Well, we do have parties already there that, if they had more comfort, may even be willing to put the bond down. The problem is that when the conference are asking for somebody to put £50,000 cash down without any ties to it, we've asked for conditions of clubs approving their costs, for some sort of control over this £50,000. And it makes it very difficult to attract a buyer, whereas without this demand, the requirements to buy this club out of administration aren't hugely onerous. But the conference bond is a real stumbling block for buyers, and understandably.
You mentioned stumbling blocks, and you've always been very clear that your job isn't to look into previous dealings at Truro City. But how big an issue is it, the fact that Truro City don't own their own ground, and there seems, despite the fact you've been able to speak with Tree Road's owners and put prospective buyers in touch with Tree Road's owners, that there still seems to be some ambiguity over their intentions? How big a stumbling block was that?
It has been one of the major obstacles. It certainly, I would, if we're sort of ranking the obstacles, I would, the Football Conference bond has been almost an insurmountable one, because we've thrown a number of proposals at that which we believe satisfy the concerns of the conference. Now, as regards the lease, it has been a problem, because when the ground was sold, there wasn't a formal lease put in place with JoJo. So obviously any buyer wants comfort that they've got security of tenure at the ground. Now, JoJo have stated that they're happy to speak with buyers, happy to discuss the terms of a lease. The difficulty has been trying to get a long-term lease in place. So the discussions have been over short-term leases, 1 to 2 years. Now, any buyer obviously wants longer than that, really. So, yes, it has been a difficult matter. But then again, if the club had owned the ground, then we'd be looking for someone to be paying much higher sums for the club, which could have caused difficulties. I think what would have assisted is if the club had a formal long-term lease written out with JoJo at the time that the club was in administration.
You've done a lot of football administration cases, James. Is it unusual for a club not to have that type of lease in place?
Yes. I don't mean to sound too critical of the authorities involved, but I would have expected the authorities to have checked this when sales were going through as well, to make sure that there was a lease in place. And I don't, again, not to mislead anyone, that there was a lease in place prior to the land being sold. Now, our position is that lease transferred with the land, but any purchaser wants the comfort of having a formal written lease with the landlord, as opposed to relying on the lease transferring across. So yeah, it is very unusual. You'd always expect the club to either own the land or have a formal written lease. I'm just trying to think, but in almost every case there has been a lease in place of some form. So yeah, no, it is unusual.
We've talked a lot, and you know there are long shots, but there are options for Truro City. But if Truro City does go into liquidation, just spell out in terms for people with no legal mind whatsoever what that means. Truro City just wiped from the record books, ceases to exist?
Yes, in terms of the immediate impact, that would mean this season effectively being written off, no more fixture this season. And then it would then be for anybody effectively to look at reforming the club, but that would be a long way down the league system, and that is where the opportunity to buy the goodwill out of administration comes in, because by doing that there is still a possibility to reform the club sort of two relegations down. So there is a possibility to save the club and not drop all the way down the leagues. But yeah, if the club was ultimately liquidated, it would be for some entity to effectively reform all the way down.
We've asked a lot, or excuse me, you have asked a lot of the players, and the players have given a lot to you, and the fans have given a lot as well. What do you have to say to the fans and the players and the staff who have sacrificed a lot for Truro City over the past few weeks as you've tried to find a buyer?
We've said from day one, and I think dealing with the staff and the players, it was the first meeting that we had with them, and they were the first people that we had to call on, literally from day one, to assist in funding the administration by deferring the wages. And this was on the back of a month just prior to administration when they hadn't been paid the wages. This is also on the back of a period of time where maybe players had not always been paid on time. And we all we can say is a huge, huge thank you to them. I know that may not be worth a lot to them now, because we were asking for that in the hope that we could sell it. All we can say to them is that we had genuine hopes of a sale, and we still now we still think we could have sold this and possibly still can. We're not looking for scapegoats, but in this instance, the authorities just simply haven't helped. I do feel very strongly that they have frustrated the purpose of the administration. Like you said previously, we have dealt with a number of administrations. In the Premier League, the Football League, the Conference and below. And in almost all cases, the authorities seek to try and preserve the competition and preserve clubs in the competition. And I don't feel like we've had that help in this instance.
A final question for you, James, and I appreciate for people listening, it's very late now on what's been a very long Thursday for you. You've laid out all the options for Truro City, really. Some of the longer shots for how they can survive, some of the shorter shots for how they survive. What's realistic, what isn't? If Truro City is liquidated, your job changes then, doesn't it? It becomes a case of looking at how the club got into this this state in the first place. Is that correct?
Yes. The difference between the liquidator's role and administrator's role is the administrator's role is in very simple terms, it's to try and save the business and try and achieve a sale. The liquidator's role, if it was to go into liquidation, that's dependent on what investigations they have to do, is to really investigate the history of the club. So yes, it is a different role. I'm not saying there necessarily is any claims or any, because there's potential assets in the club via claims that the club may have, and they have to be investigated, and a decision will be made as to whether there is any validity in those claims.
And that is yourself and Walsh Taylor, who will become effectively changed from administrators to liquidators, should that arise?
Yeah, that's not it's not guaranteed, but that would be the likely scenario that that Kate Breeze of Walsh Taylor would become liquidator. But again, that is if it did go into liquidation.
And if it does get to that stage, as you say there, you do have the power to look over dealings books, that type of thing. thing, and then you produce a report at the end. And what happens with that report? What's that stage?
Well, there's reports. All the directors have a report provided on them. But then, in addition to that, and that's to make sure that there's no wrong dealings gone on in the past. But then there's also investigations as to whether the club as an entity has any assets that can be recovered for the creditors. So, for example, in relation to the land sale, it'll be investigated as to whether the club has a valid claim in relation to that deal. So that will be looked into in more detail, and a call will be made as to whether it is worth pursuing those claims.